The guy that we're going to listen to, Rion, he founded the Satanic Church in South Africa, and he's going to share a bit of his testimony concerning the role that his parents played in understanding how to pray for their son, who is the founder and the face of the Satanic Church in South Africa. And he begins to share that. But also he shares the currency of the blood, how the demonic operates in regards to the blood sacrifices, because that's the exchange for power and everything that needs to be blood sacrifice. But then there's the blood of Jesus Christ. And quite a bit of it is cut, so it's not, because it's like an hour and a half kind of testimony, but I've condensed it to about 20 minutes. So it's just two themes that will come through. But you will see, because a lot of our children are very much playing a lot of these computer games, and these computer games is quite an open door for the demonic to capture and mess around with the mind, particularly, and from the mind, they start to control a person. So they start with the mind all the time. And that's important. So we know how to pray for our children in releasing the blood of Jesus Christ in lives. I remember for Joan sharing her testimony with her own son with the computer games and things like that, and how she would just lay hands and just pray, releasing the life of Jesus and what happened in her son's life as well, and being set free. And that, so it's very real, and I think a lot of us can give testimony on just how powerful it is to loose. Jesus says whatever you loose will be released, whatever you bind will be bound. And we often think of you know, the typical way of doing it, but one of the most profound things that we can release, that which is already established, what we've already done, is the powerful reality of the blood of Jesus. Loose the blood of Jesus into the families. Loose that. It's very, very powerful. And that's part of us as we're learning now to pray for the families in our community and our nation. We start to see the power of that. So this testimony will encourage us to know that there's nothing impossible. And that, particularly for parents right now, there's a lot of activity in family homes right now. There's been success in lives, like all of a sudden there's like a derailment taking place, and the parents need to stand firm and to be able to pray for their families. So we've got an answer. And this morning when I saw and experienced the reality of how King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just leading and marching behind him, victory. There's no hopelessness with him as our captain, as our king, as our leader. And we've got our confidence is him. Greater is he that's in us, as we sang. So Father, we want to thank you for so many testimonies that we hear right now concerning the reality of the death and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. The power of the cross. The power of the gospel. We want to thank you that you have so brought us into the life and the reality of that powerful sacrifice of Jesus, that we ourselves experience what it is to be born again. We experienced how you came and your son came to seek and save those who are lost. And we experienced his divine activity, and how you drew us to yourself through your son Jesus. And that's why for all of mankind, we thank you that we can have our confidence in the power of the blood, what has already been done, what's actually taking place as his blood continually cleanses us, but also the future reality of redemption. And this we receive and celebrate today because of your son Jesus. Amen. Amen.
And I mean, the fact is, Jesus has already conquered the devil on the cross. Right. So we are actually operating and fighting from victory already. We're not fighting towards victory. But if you want to know how to firstly protect your children, because it's so important for parents, and especially Christian parents, and also secondly, because of what is happening in certain churches, and that all fits into that, if you want to call it the agenda, but that is actually the right term. And also if you look at how certain monetary systems and things are operating. So those things empower Christians, and they know what to pray for, because you see, this is the beautiful thing. Our authority in Christ comes especially from when things come into the light and we see things for what it is. And we can literally change the atmosphere with prayer. And I've seen it so many times where the moment God calls up his warriors and people start seeing what is really going on. We don't have to fear it. We do not have to fear it. We just need to know our authority in Christ. We need to know what the enemy strategy is. And it all comes back to, kill, steal, destroy, obviously. But there is unfortunately a operation and a network going on in this world. And because of the times we are in, things are speeding up. Because the demonic and the enemy knows that the end is near and that their time is running out and they have certain things to accomplish. And that is why we're seeing more attacks on Christianity at the moment. We're seeing more attacks on families as a structure and a covenant. We're seeing attacks on children. It is insane. It really is. And again, sorry, I went off the topic a bit.
No, that's great. No, I don't mind that. I kind of like going in and out of the story for a bit. But I'm curious, you mentioned parents need to know how to arm up against the agendas of Satanism. I'm a parent. How do I arm up? How is Satan trying to attack the children? Because sometimes I'm like, shoot, are the shows they're watching on YouTube? Like, is the music they're listening to? Like, give me a bit of an understanding of what's actually going on.
So there's various weapons for like focused on children. So a very big thing is online gaming. That's being used by a lot of Satanists to actually recruit children into Satanism and put very subtle suggestions. Because, you see, the agenda changes every 9 years. So the agenda we are in at the moment is to recruit younger people into Satanism, because the majority of Satanists around the world is much older, because they've been Satanists for 20, 30 years, and they realize that for Satanism to keep on going, the focus needs to be to recruit people, to younger people, sorry. So especially between the ages of 12 and 15 is very much a target at the moment, not for them necessarily to do a satanic ritual immediately, but to subtly with suggestion through social media, through games, put certain things in and desensitize them. So that's why certain symbols and certain things has become so popular on social media and on feeds and in the music industry. So if you scroll, and I don't have to say which apps it is, but there's a certain app that you just scroll through the whole time, and it is for young kids mostly. Every third video is either a psychic reading or a satanic ritual or witches giving tips on how to do certain things. That is not a coincidence. And when I was involved in the satanic church and when I used to go to rituals, there were quite a few Satanists who were teachers who would, you know, they are in schools and they try at times to astral project to certain children to put suggestions in their mind, because that's how the enemy works. The first contact is thoughts, to put thoughts into our mind. And that's why Paul speaks about the armor of God and the arrows being shot at. That is how it works. So there's a technique that Satanists use to put thoughts into children and to other people's mind. And then they sit back to see what happens. But those Satanists, the teachers, would come back to satanic rituals at times and say, there's certain children that we cannot project to. And it is like they have a blue circle of fire, like a blue torch around them. So later we figured out those were the children that their parents were praying for. Those were the children that the parents were praying the blood of Christ over those children every morning as they leave the house. So those children can't be touched or projected to, you see. And these are the things that parents need to know and what their authority in Christ is. My parents, so... And I always get emotional when I talk about this. So my parents found out that I'm involved in Satanism in a newspaper article. So they didn't know this was going on. So, and we didn't speak much at that time. So literally one day they picked up a newspaper, or a newspaper was actually delivered to their house on a Sunday morning, and they opened it and they saw, here's our son. He's the head of the Satanic Church in South Africa. And my mother made an appointment with me, and she came. She drove all the way with my father to the Satanic Church office, and she said to me that day, she just wants to ask me one question. And I said, okay, what is it? And she said to me, is this a joke, or is this really what you're involved in? And I asked her, what difference does it make? And you know what she said? She said, because we want to know how to pray for you. That's why we're asking. Wow. And for 4 years, I didn't speak to my parents, not because they didn't want to. I didn't want to. And you know what happened in that 4 years? My parents didn't go into a panic, into a frenzy. My mother started writing my name in her Bible, different when God gave a scripture. And she said that she stood on the authority that she had as a mother to pray me back into the kingdom of God. And that's what she did. And you see, so there's a beautiful story of Jesus in the Bible as well, where Jesus and his disciples were on their way somewhere and they passed a funeral for a child, and this mother was weeping, and it touched him and it moved him, because the tears and the prayers of a mother, our mothers are our most powerful intercessors, especially when they stand on the authority in Christ.
Amen. And your mother prayed you back into the kingdom of God.
She and about a lot of thousands of Christians around the world. Because you see, when the Satanic Church was registered officially in South Africa on paper, and it was everywhere. It went into newspapers. It was in the media. It was around the world, actually. But now, see, God loves working behind the scenes. So what I didn't know is thousands of Christians started praying for me. And God only showed this to me 3 years ago. So I didn't know it at the time, because I was not in touch with, you know, the world. I was very focused and demonically oppressed at that time and what I was busy and involved in. But because it was so public and because it was so visible around the world that here is a Satanic Church and here's the face of it, thousands of Christians prayed for me. And that is why God came and met me where I was the way he did it. It was an answer to prayer. And I always say, if my testimony can do anything, if it can do anything, I love it that people come to Christ because of the testimony, because that's how Jesus works. It's how God saves people. I can't save people. But if my testimony teaches Christians anything, it's that prayer works.
Amen. Amen. Cause you can't get much darker than head of the Church of Satan.
No. And the stuff I was involved with and what I did. And I mean, it's hectic. And I can't talk about that today because children will probably watch this program.
Right.
But I was extremely, the furthest that you can be Yet God still loved me, and God loves everybody, and God actually doesn't love one person more than the other. And God had a plan all along. And I can tell you something, Ryan, is that, you know what? God was not surprised. I don't think God is ever surprised about anything that we do, but God knew what to do, and God knew how to reach me. Because the way that Jesus met me, the way I met Christ, that was the only way that I could have that encounter, because I wasn't in a place of my life where I would have gone searching for God or Jesus at a church or tried to have conversations with Christians, because I honestly at that time didn't even believe that God exists or that Jesus. Two weeks you've joined and got initiated. You are called an apostolate, right? So that is really learning about a lot of things like different types of psychology, learning how to study people, how to immobilize Christians, how to recruit people, that type of thing. So you have mentors to teach you those things. Then after, for most people, it's a year. For some people, it's sooner. You have to decide what path within Satanism you want to get involved in. So do you want to become a wizard or a witch? Do you want to be a warlock? Do you eventually want to become a priest? Do you want to be a mage? Do you want to learn about astral projection and astral travel? Do you want to have certain abilities and gifts to be able to read and manipulate people? Then, depending on that choice, you have to start performing rituals to get initiated. So the initial rituals is animal sacrifices that you have to perform. So the thing that a lot of people ask when I talk about this at churches is, but why? Why is there sacrifices and blood and those type of things? Now, blood has a currency in the spirit world. So if you negotiate with demons to have them do stuff for you in the physical world, you have to bring a sacrifice and an offering. And what I've learned in the last 3 years, the blood of Christ is the highest currency in the spirit world. So the blood of Christ is higher and stronger than any other blood in terms of its spiritual currency. And that's why people can be protected and freed with that blood, because it conquers, it trumps the blood of any sacrifice or anything that you can bring. But coming back to it, so
can I cut you off there? So I'm so curious, when you're saying the blood, is that something we claim? Is that like found in doing communion? Like, how do we tap into the blood of Christ in our everyday lives?
It's, if we are followers of Christ, right, and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are the anointed. Right. And Jesus tells us in his word, I give you the authority, and in my name, that is how you claim it. It's not about doing
our authority in Christ.
Yeah.
That we're covered, that we're already.
And the enemy does not want us to know our authority on Christ, obviously.
Right. Okay.
The
communion, it literally operating from the blood.
Already. And remember what I said to you, when we give our hearts to God, we surrender our hearts to Jesus fully. Like, I'm not saying now that there's now a little part of my heart that I'm not surrendering, right? So if I surrender my heart to Christ fully and Jesus comes and rushes into my heart and the Holy Spirit works through my heart for God's kingdom, you are standing in that authority. Do you understand? Yeah. You become a tool in the hands of the Father. And the first line of defense for spiritual warfare from the kingdom of darkness is doubt, is to make people doubt the authority. Then it's fear. So there's, you see, there's a ammo, there's an operation. So it's first doubt, it's fear. Then comes attack, then comes suggestion, then comes, so, and a lot of people seem to think that demonic oppression and possession is the first thing that happens. No. There has to be other suggestions and things first to break down the followers of Christ.
Okay, so it starts with doubt, the seed of doubt, a thought, which is the garden, right? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of that apple?
Yes.
And then it moves into what was the second one?
Fear.
Then it moves into fear. And then once you've opened yourself up at that point, and is this, again, is this like a portal? Is it like, how does this work that the enemy has, does he have legal access at that point?
No. So I'll explain.
But there's too many testimonies in our own lives what the blood of Christ has done in redeeming us. In that, yeah. In the other, in his sharing his full journey story, one thing that his mother did was she took his dedication certificate when he was dedicated as a baby, and she also used that on her prayer wall, and she would stand, but I've dedicated this child of mine to Jesus Christ, and therefore Satan, you've got no hold of him. And she would stand on the fact by faith her and her husband had dedicated their son to God, and that the power of covenant of faith, that relationship, and that was part of her prayer life. And as she said, she would put his name in the scriptures that God would give. And you see in her Bible there all the times that she had written, and she would just stand on those promises and pray. And it took 4 years before there was a breakthrough. And he was a guy that I was sharing with that was busy with the satanic ritual to discover if the Antichrist had been born. And while he's busy with that ritual, Jesus appears to him there in the process of that ritual. For God so loved the world, he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Have confidence for our children. Have confidence for the family's members. Have confidence. Our Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And that's his heart. The power of the Holy Spirit's ministry and convicting and convincing and all those kind of wonderful things. But let's believe. Let's pray. Let's take our stand and not just, oh no, that's happening. Don't just leave it. There's no hope. No. The blood of Christ, what he has done, that's the anchor. That's where we anchored into the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's have faith. Let's win the battle that's upon the families so that we can see all of our families and the families of our communities really experiencing divine intervention, God's grace, God's mercy. Okay. So grandmothers, you've got a role to play, to help the mothers, because they can get weary, and to stand in the gap. That now, grandfathers and fathers, often they speak about mothers. They've got, you know, like you said, the prayer of the mother. But the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Man, female, child, all of us. Can't say no, because in dealing with many families, this is a common thing with the husband. So that's my wife's thing. You see, they're stepping out. No, it's not. It's parents, husband, wife. It's the parents' thing. And it's just the children's thing as well in praying for the families and for their siblings. It's all of us. So let's that's part of the stronghold that we're trusting God to break in, particularly in husbands' lives, where they just think, oh, that's my wife's thing. My wife prays in that there. I must just go and work, whatever it may be. No, that's a stronghold. To God wants husband and wife that authority, that unity, to stand firm, to stand for their children and their children and great-grandchildren, etc. It's a togetherness. Amen. Yeah. So, Father, thank you as we just have the communion, as we know that it's not just a ritual, but this is just a demonstration, just a celebration that we believe in the power of your blood, Jesus. We believe that what you have done in this redeeming blood of yours, we believe it is the highest form of currency that demolishes and disarms every demonic activity, every spiritual authority. It disarms all the accusation. It disarms everything. And we celebrate, Lord, the reality of this incredible blood of yours and your broken body. And so we eat together with joy in our hearts and also learning just to appropriate what you have done and to be able to speak it and to decree it and to proclaim it over the community, over the cities, over the towns, over the nation that you've placed us in. And this we thank you through you, Jesus Christ. So appreciate you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Amen.